Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go live here. All right, we are in Romans chapter 14 tonight. Romans chapter 14. And we are using our secondary equipment tonight. Our personnel that does the recording has a conflict of schedule, cannot be here, so we're using our secondary. That's why we have a little different setup here tonight on this Wednesday evening. We had a great time of prayer, and now as we look into the Word of God. We've been in this chapter a couple weeks, and we're going to be in this chapter a couple more weeks. You would not have known all the way through the 13 chapters that there was any problem in the church at Rome. He has dealt with doctrine. He has dealt with how to live a victorious Christian life after coming to Christ. He's taught about Christian service and the fact that God equips us with gifts for Christian service and what those gifts are and how they relate to us living among God's people, how they relate to us living in society. And then he takes us and puts us under authority, living under authority, and how Christians are to live under that authority in chapter 13. Never been a problem surfaced until you come to chapter 14. And it's a serious problem, and it has not went away over the past 2,000 years. It is the problem of people judging, passing judgment. And I say emphatically again tonight that God never gives a Christian the liberty, nor does he give the Christian the permission to judge another Christian. He's the judge. All judgment is given unto the Son. And he never gives his people that authority to pass judgment. The problem is many times we don't know the facts. And we more or less judge through observation. Sometimes we judge through opinion or suspicion, speculation. You can only judge based on facts. And those facts got to be factual. They can't be half-truths and so forth. And by the time they pass through two or three times, different three or four different people, you know, it changes every time it passes through somebody. It either loses some or gains some. It never remains the same. And that's why we're never to enter into that realm. We're never to wear a black garment and sit up on a high seat and set ourselves up as a judge. God never gave us that authority. Now, what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to read two or three verses, and then we're going to look at an event. He actually brings an event. It's theological, it's biblical, it's doctrinal, and it has to do with an event. Now, he's talked about the blood, he's talked about Calvary, he's talked about all kinds of things that took place at Calvary, but he never dealt with the event, just the conclusions of the event. He's actually going to bring the event up, and that event tonight is called the Judgment Seat of Christ, where all Christians are going to be judged. No Christian will ever, I want to make this very clear, not only inside our building tonight, but I want to make this very clear to everyone that's listening beyond the four walls. No Christian will ever be judged for their sin. Period. Now, boy, they'll argue about that. No Christian will ever be judged for their sin. All sin was judged on Christ. Period. All sin, past, present, future. All sin, all of my sin was on him. He paid for it all. We say Jesus paid it all. And so we're never going to be judged for our sin. We're going to be judged for our service. And we're going to be looking at that tonight and again next Wednesday night, because he actually gets into and names that event in this chapter. Now, it's remarkable. He names it in the book of Romans, chapter 14, because they had a problem of one judging another. And there's another book, another church, that he mentions it. And they were carnal. And it's Corinthians. He mentions the judgment seat of Christ and deals with the activity of it in a church that was absolutely plagued with problems at Corinth. In both books, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And he names it here, where people were actually judging when they should not have been. And they were warned, the scriptures warned, you don't do that. Now, I want to read two or three verses. And again, a lot of the things they were judging in that day really wouldn't apply to our day today. And I mentioned that last week concerning special days and meats offered to idols and vegetarians and things like that. And let me bring you up to a more modern day scenario. In Romania, where I still have ministry, the women do not wear jewelry. They do not wear jewelry. They don't wear rings. They don't wear earrings, wedding rings. They don't wear any kind of, no bracelets or nothing. They think that's wrong. So they don't wear any kind of jewelry whatsoever. Now, when Romania became free from communism in 89, many people went to Europe to work. And they do like they do here in America. They'll come into large cities, and there will actually be a little city inside a big city, like Chinatown. And I've been to Chinatown in Manhattan. Been right through it. And Little Italy, it's up there. And there's a Romanian commune. They all bunch together and live there. They got their own little country right in a big city. That's how they live. And they don't learn English. They don't want to learn English. They open their own shops, and they live over here and benefit from the country, but they don't. That's just where they are. And they keep their own customs. They keep their own customs, just like they would if they was living over there. And many people do that, that come here. Many people that come from foreign countries, that's what they do. But anyway, a lot of them went to Europe and worked, and some of them stayed there. But anyway, several years later, they had invited a German choir to come in and sing a cantata for a Christmas special. And I want to tell you, when it's Christmas time, they go all out. There is like 2 days before Christmas, there's a service in the morning and a service in the evening. The next day, service in the morning, service in the evening. Then on Christmas Day, service in the morning, service in the evening. Then the day after Christmas, service in the morning, service in the evening. And the day after, 5 days. 2 days before, 2 days after, and Christmas Day. So they have service every morning and service every evening. And that's their tradition. That's their custom. And we went to church. We preached. I did a lot of the preaching. But anyway, they invited this German choir in to have a cantata. And a lot of the people would have known them. Some of them were from that town. Others, a lot of them were Romanians that went there to work. And they came from a German-Romanian church. Somewhere in Germany. I don't remember exactly where it was at. But boy, when they came in, there wasn't a whole lot of men in the choir, predominantly women. And there was probably 25 in the choir, maybe 30. Those women were dressed like a Christmas tree. And I want to tell you, those old women with cracked hands and worked out in the gardens and they've got greenhouses. They farm. That's how they live. Even in the towns and stuff, like hard life. And boy, you we thought I had a video camera. When that choir walked in there, some of them were even jingling. They had so much jewelry on their wrist and hang around their arms, and their earrings was hanging down on their shoulders. I mean, it was all out. They had absolutely no respect for their tradition. No respect for their tradition. Do they believe in it? Do I believe in it? No, I don't believe in it, but I respected it. A lot of the things, and that's what I told the students yesterday down in Marietta, I said, there's a lot of things in foreign countries that they do culturally that may not be biblically. Don't condemn them for it. Don't criticize them and judge them for it just because it's not your standard or just because it's not your... And in the same way, you should not only not rebuke them, but you should not abuse and go out of your way to make them angry. Them people actually come in there with the idea, and they sang with the attitude, I'll show you. That's the kind of attitude they had. I'll show you. That's wrong, in any sense of the word. That's wrong, in any sense of the word. And that's exactly what's going on here. Things that some people have problems with that other people may not have problems. And I always said, show me in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not wear a wedding ring. Show me in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not wear an earring. Show me in the Bible. And I asked a lot of these, where it says you shall not wear a bracelet. Here's where we concluded last week. Everyone, in verse 5, every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Everyone's going to have to make their own decision. What's right, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Everyone's going to make their own decision. Where you have unspecified a statement for or against whatever may be the practice. And I'm not going back into the practices and the scenarios of them. There's enough of them out there, believe me. And every generation seems to create their own. And it divides churches, it divides families, it destroys ministries, and it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Now, so everyone's got to be persuaded. Principle number one, everyone has to be persuaded in their own mind. Number two, in verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. You want to just demonstrate your faith? You want to live your faith? You want to display your faith? Have it to yourself. Keep your nose out of other people's lives. Have it to yourself. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty clear. And then he goes on to say, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. The things that I allow, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to deal with verse 23 next week. I don't have time tonight. So that's principle number two. Principle number one, everyone's got to be persuaded what's right, what's allowable, what's not allowable. Everybody's got to be persuaded in their own mind. I can't persuade you. You're not to persuade me. Or judge if I don't do, or if you don't do. I can't judge. Whatever. We have our faith. We have to have it toward God. Individually. Individually toward God. Then there's the questions. There's the questions. In verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? And if I may take the liberty to use an example, I go down to Kathy's meat shop where we go regularly, and I go in and I tell Mary, Mary, what in the world did Kathy ever hire you for? And I lay into her and condemn her and criticize her. I'm not going to do that. She don't work for me. And that's exactly what this is saying. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Who art? I go down to Kroger, I don't pay the Kroger people's wages. How can I go in there and condemn somebody? This is it. This is what he's saying. How can you condemn somebody that you got no authority over them in your life? You got no authority over your life. They're not under your authority in any way. Who art thou that judges somebody that's not under your authority? That's what he's saying. Now, verse 10, going along with principle number 3. But why doest thou judge thy brother? What's the motive? What's your motive? I can tell you from almost 43 years of experience and knowing the oftentimes it happens, it's a psychological uplift if you in your mind or my mind or somebody in their mind can put somebody else down psychologically. It upgrades them. It's a personal upgrading. If I can degrade somebody, then I'm upgrading myself. It's psychological. And a lot of people do it. They don't even know why they're doing it. But I know that's a fact, and I've called people on it. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? What's your motive? So, principle number 3, why are we judging somebody we have no authority over? And he uses a master and a servant, or employee and employer in modern day terminology. Employee and employer. Why would I want to judge another employer? I'm not their employee. And what's my motive? Why am I doing it? What am I trying to accomplish? Now I go back again to our 3 points. We are to receive them that are weaker. We are to support them that are weaker. And if necessary, we need to help restore them that are weaker. Because you have the weak in faith in chapter 14, verse 1, and the strong in faith in chapter 15, verse 1. The weak and the stronger. And in between that, in chapter 14, you've got the actual event that's going to take place. And that follows in verse 10. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there it is. He mentions it. 3 books, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and the book of Romans. By name. By name. Named here because they were carrying on judging, passing judgment upon one another, when they had no authority to do so. And I used those 2, like down at the meat shop, I used that as an example. Nobody, Kathy being there, who do you think you are judging my employer? She worked for me, not for you. She'd have that right. And I wonder what the Lord thinks when one Christian turns and judges another Christian, and the Lord may say, who are you to judge my child? That's my child, not your child. That child belongs to me, not you. That's the principle. And a Christian has absolutely no authority to judge any more than a person would have the right to judge an employee that works for an employer. We wouldn't do that. It's not our authority, not our position. God never gave us that right. And when it happens, what's our motive? I can say many times, due to the fact of putting someone down to elevate myself. It's a psychological kick. It's a psychological kick. And boy, this has been, I've been in the ministry now, this is almost 43 years, and I have seen this happen so often in churches. I've dealt with it in Christian families and churches. I've seen churches split over these things. I've seen Christian families split over these things. And there are just so many things in Christian life that we call the questionable things. Where the Bible, I told one of the boys, I was I was kind of ornery with him yesterday, and I just walked over to the table where he was sitting, and I said, I laid the Bible down in front of him. Now, there's a few things going on that I'm not going to bring out tonight, but just a few things going on, and they need to hear what I had to say yesterday from the Holy Spirit, not me. And I laid the Bible down in front of him, and I said, show me in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not smoke. Show me. There it is. There's the Bible. Believe it or not, he started going. He did. And one of the boys there on the end, the American boy, he looked at me and said, it's not in there. Then I looked at him and I said, that's right, it's not in there. But why don't I smoke? Because I don't want to get cancer. But why don't I smoke? Because my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. I mean, there's principles that you can support, but there's not biblical verse that actually says it. So they argue back and forth and debate this stuff back and forth. And it's a waste, absolute waste of time. It's an absolute waste of time. Let everyone be persuaded in their own mind. Number one. Number two, have faith. Have it toward God. Number three, who are you judging? You have no authority to judge. And what's your motive for judging? What are you trying to accomplish out of your judging? So, no one will ever, if you judge, then you're not receiving. Judging is a way of rejecting, not receiving. Putting down is a way of rejecting, and we're told to receive the weaker brother. And we are to help and support the weaker that's in their faith. Now, as I said, there may be many reasons why people may be weak in their faith, and I'm not going back through all of those, but you always have to take under consideration, everybody may not be had the opportunity to be under the Word of God as much as I've been. Everybody not may, I'll tell you who, and I don't say this just for off the cuff, I just say as a fact, the teacher is the one that learns the most. The teacher is the one that learns the most. When I go home after I got done preaching, I've got 100% of it. You may have 10% of it. I've got 100% of it. Several people come up to me after the services and they'll say, if I've dealt with a delicate or a complicated situation, my head's buzzing. But I've got it 100%. The teacher is the one that's got it. Right, Gene? Right, Nancy? Right, Frosty? Amen. And all the others that's taught in here. Lynn, you learn, don't you? When you present it to those kids, you're the learner. You're the learner. And there's no greater way to learn than to teach. Than to teach. That's one of the greatest ways to learn. So, there's many reasons, perhaps, and I'm not going down that path again tonight, as to why people may be weak. But we are not to kick them, to judge them, condemn them, criticize them. We're to try to give them a helping hand in a right motive, in a right heart. We're trying to lift people up, not put people down. Now, in verse 10, we shall, not we might, we shall all stand. Now, I want you to notice in the last four words of verse 8, we are the Lord's. I am the Lord's possession. I'm not my brother's possession. My brother never died for me. My brother never forgave me. My brother never shed his blood for me. Christ died for me. I am the Lord's. And He is my Lord. He is my master, not somebody else. That's why we cannot pass And that's why we will stand before the Master. We will stand before the Master. Every one of us that are born again. Now, there's some more things that I'm going to look at in there. And also verse 23 is an extremely important verse. I'm not skipping over it tonight. But I'm going to deal and kind of just open the door tonight and look at the judgment seat of Christ. Because that's an event. It's not only mentioned here, but it's told that you will stand there. He don't only mention the event, but He puts every one of them there. Whether you're weak, whether you're strong, you will all stand there. Now, I want emphatically, again, it is not for our sin. I had an overzealous assistant on my staff in Romania. And I was away for a while. And while I was away, I allowed him to do some teaching. He taught a class in the college. And I allowed him. I took some young boys and tried to mentor them. I tried to be a Paul to Timothy and Titus and this. And tried to encourage them. You know, you can't do that for everyone. Because, like to this guy, it went from here to here. And he got up in the pulpit and he had a chapel. After I left, he had a chapel. We don't have chapel every day. We have chapel on 3 days a week. He had chapel every day so he could speak. And his message on the chapel, they were telling me by email. I said, I'll take care of it when I get back. It won't take me very long. And he was telling them, God's going to judge you for your sin. Everything that you've done wrong, God's going to judge you for your sin. And he drove that into their minds. And these young people, many of them come from all over places in Romania. Kids over here that's in the first grade Sunday school class would have known more than these people in the college. Some of them didn't even really know if they saved. And he got up there to put himself up as a bullwhip, and to put them under and down, you're going to be judged for your sin. That thought you had just now, when I said that thought you just had, you're going to be judged for that. He just ranted and raved. And by the time I got back, I didn't have any skin left on him. I had to do plastic surgery. I bathed him in this. And I took him in the office and I took his skin off. And then I taught what I'm going to teach right now. No person that stands before the judgment seat of Christ will ever be judged for their sin. That's why Christ died. For all of our sins, past, present, or future, we will be judged for our service. Now, I'm going to stop off very briefly. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. And I said I was going to quit early tonight. So, to keep my word, I'm going to have to do that within the next minute or so. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which has to do with leaving the body and absent from the Lord, that great passage we often refer to, leads you right down to where we appear after we leave this body, is where we appear in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Now that body was presented to Christ in Romans chapter 12 for service, right? The body was presented for service in Romans chapter 12. So we're going to appear that we might receive everyone the things done in his body according to that which he hath done. We're going to receive according to what we do, whether it be good or whether it be bad, whether it be right or whether it be wrong. We're going to receive. Now, we have to go to other passages of Scripture to finish that. Whether we're going to receive, what are we going to receive for the bad? And that's where he took his text from. See there? You're going to get it for being bad. You're going to get it for being bad. But you can't take a verse out of context. And that's exactly what he did. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm not going to go there tonight. You have to wait till next Wednesday night. But you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he gives a vivid explanation of this event. And it says, we will be saved by fire. Our soul will be saved. But we may suffer loss. And I'll put it all together next week. I just want to say, concerning receiving, we're going to receive loss. You know, you can receive something, and it doesn't necessarily have to mean you possess something. You receive something, it don't necessarily mean you possess it. But receiving something could be losing something. It could be a loss. And that's exactly what that means. In context with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And those that do good are going to receive a crown. They're going to receive a reward. And those that do wrong are going to suffer loss. And it says it. It says it clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to put them all together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Romans chapter 14 deal with this event called the judgment seat of Christ, where all Christians are going to be judged. So this event's going to take place. So who are we to pass judgment? We're not at that place, and we don't have that authority. So when people don't measure up, we don't measure up. You have your faith is toward God. That's it. We'll continue on. I do want to close just a few minutes early tonight so we can get set up for Sunday. My friends on Facebook, before we